Turn with me, please, to Timothy's epistle. Second Timothy, please. Chapter 3. Second Timothy, chapter 3. On verse 16. I'm going to read, verse number 14. And continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for a doctrine, for doctrine, and so forth. Now, turn back, please, to the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark, and chapter 8. Mark's Gospel and chapter 8. And verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? One final reference, please, in the first epistle of John toward the end of the New Testament, and first epistle of John chapter 1. For a text. Comes toward the end of our New Testament, and first John chapter 1 and verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and it's this expression in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I trust God will help us to conclude the meeting with what we have heard already. What's on my mind is very, very basic. I'll be very simple. And again, I'll take that against myself if I'm very simplistic. I suppose in an audience like this, if I commence from the first seat of those who have gone to school, and some maybe even to higher education, and some even to university, and if I ask everyone, please quote a chapter from Plato, or a chapter from Aristotle, or a chapter from some of the old philosophers, like myself, I'd have to put myself in some of your company and say, I don't know. I don't know about you. But we have got a book, 66 books, inspired of God, God-breathed, indispensable, eternal, a bulwark in a dark world. And I just want to try to emphasize the value of the scriptures, number one. Secondly, I want to look at the value of the soul, number two. And thirdly, I want to think of the value of the Savior's blood. After all, that's what our gospel is all summed up about. You will never, now I'm going to be very kind, but faithful, you'll never know the saving value, the emancipating power, the cleansing, justifying power of the blood of Christ, until you accept that this word is true. Until you accept that this is God's word. It's God-breathed. Every word. And here's what Paul says to Timothy as he's writing to him, from a child that was known, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, everyone that. So in other words, my friend, we want to try to get your mind thinking. What value? And what we are preaching tonight is simply from this book, because this is, as our brother Robert has said so clearly, this is our only source of reliable information as to the past, as to the present, and as to the future. The great questions today, even in university, have come over constantly to the professor from the students. Where did we ever come from anyway? And why are we here? And of course, where are we going to when it's all settled and we pass this life? Where does it all end? That's what the old armchair philosopher looked up to the skies and rocked and looked and wrote volumes and volumes. And as he looked at the vast creation that they could see, and we only could see a little small particle of it, and he said, and then, where is it all going? And what we're trying to do from this book, friend, is to tell you the scriptures will answer those three questions. The answer to origin, where we come from. The answer to purpose, why we're here. And the answer to destiny, where we're going. And so those three very potent and important questions, I would like you to think to that tonight, because if you get a hold of it, you're not just a piece of cookbook, passing through aimlessly life and drifting on and death that ends it all. No, friend. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the highest of God's creation, friend. I marvel. I mean, I'm very small, and I feel that sometimes, and my intellect is so small, and I feel like I don't know very much. And all the rest of it, and I feel small in the sight of some great giants. But here I am, and I say to myself, when you get a hand, and I've got eyes, and I can see things all around me here. And if there's lights in the dark night, I can see it 4,000. I can see it to say 4,000 miles. Right there. And I can look up to the vast universe and see the planets. Fearfully, wonderfully made. And the body, soul, and spirit. Where did we come from? The hand of God. Hope you get that. That's what I want to try to emphasize. If you get that in your mind, little girl, it'll help you. It'll help you to come to a knowledge of God's kindness to you. And what he desires for you. But that brings the second point, purpose.
Why did he visit you? He seemed to be well in there. Even school teachers, or to be grocery assistants, or to be whatever that we are called in our profession, whatever it is.
Okay, you know something? You're the only purpose that God has you to do it. I'm a hit leader. You write it down in your mind. Purpose is this that you must do. Hopeless, tomorrow, don't miss that.
That's the whole purpose of our preaching. And if you want to come to us after the meeting and sit down, or sit down with any of these dear brethren that know their Bibles, and know Christ, friends, will tell you exactly the same thing. Maybe in a quieter voice, but they'll just tell you, yes, God is an interest in you. And God loves you, and God wants to save you. That's what the Bible says, I quote. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And just before that, we read those beautiful words, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. To be saved, friend, is the great purpose. I found that 41 years ago. Did I ever get hold of it? Well, I can tell you again tonight. It's so beautiful, so clear, so precious. I wouldn't want to go through this whole poor world with all its confusion and all its, my friend, frustrations and darkness and despair and weeping and tears and sorrow.
I didn't know that for a number of years. I was 21.
And I had a godly mother. Godly Lord, thank God for it. You've got a mother that prays for you. Thank God. If I wandered many a road in Belfast, many a dark night, and the only thing that preserved me from death was up yonder in a little room with a mother of prayer for her boy. No wonder when I got saved and looked across the table and said, Mother, do you see any changes?
Didn't know hardly how to approach her.
She said, whatever's wrong, whatever's happened to you, I've got under shot. She said, you're baffled. You're home at night, you're not out in the roads, the boys aren't coming for you, the Bible's in the jury. But I said, Mom, I could see it around 10:30 to 11 o'clock in the room today. I trusted Christ. I found the perfect why I needed.
And she looked at me and she got up from that table.
I don't think the old suit was hardly cold. It was cold anyway.
Because at that time you were chasing the peas around the water. She was feeding seven children.
No, the food were hard days. I had a loaf of them. Tough times.
I'll never forget, she threw her arms around me and whispered into my ear with those tears that said, thank God I'm not here. Oh, my friend, purpose. God has you in this meeting with one design, one purpose, not just to listen to two men from the East who are trying to tell you the gospel.
You're trying to do that, friend, and you're praying
those that receive that God will give power to the Word and come among us. And dynamic moving, Holy Ghost power. That you, my friend, will be awakened to the fact I need to be saved, not through a thundering voice like mine, but through the Spirit's voice of Christmas in the every heart that was born. Holy God would cause an earth-shaking, powerful gospel to reach you, friend, that you would awaken to the fact I'm lost. That night at God's salvation, I've missed the purpose why I'm here in our world. What's the destiny of it all? Where's it all? That's why I read.
Put the value upon the scriptures. Put a premium upon them.
Put a prime interest upon those words that you hear in Sunday school, like your Sunday school teacher takes time to teach you. I never forget a little fella who comes into the desk and, this dear brother come along after the meeting, and he said to me, would you like a cup of tea after the meeting?
Sure.
And I went, said, I like that little message out there.
He said, it just took me back when I bothered to say it.
And he said, I want to tell you. He says, I want you to know it, because he said, tell it in Canada and tell it in States.
He says, I'm probably ready for me. Well, listen.
He said, my dad was brought up in the streets of Belfast with bare feet and tattered clothes and a pulled home and ruthless purse. There's hardly anything to eat. And that little fella at 8 years of age walked on the cold stone of the sidewalk looking to get some heat somewhere. And he passed the door slightly open. And as he passed me, he got a whip.
Well,
he opened it and walked in.
There's a number of brethren sitting there, sisters.
And the wee fella hardly seen him.
All he did was over there, a little hot stove in the middle. We call it a pot belly stove.
And he went over there, and he put his knees bare feet up as close as he could, and he put his knee hands up, and he warmed. And the big fat Irishman went over and put his arm around him and said, Sonny,
oh, let's just put your arm around each other.
I love them. Give them a wee pat on the head. Let them know that they're wanted and needed.
And of course, he said to the wee fat Irishman,
and he says, I'm trying to get warm, sir. He says, you go ahead. And after the meeting, the old dear man took time to sit with the boy. And he said, do you know anything about the Bible?
He said, you don't have one in the house.
No scriptures.
So he took out a little testament and he said, I want to teach you. Before you leave this hall, I want to teach you John 3:16. And he poured into his ear John 3:16. The little boy repeated and repeated and repeated until finally he could close the little testament and he could repeat it 25 words. He said, son, come back and I'll give you a Bible.
And that boy comes back to this 14 years of age. I never heard of him again. He joined the army, went across overseas, and grew up to be a man. Come back from the forces. And he met a comrade in the streets of Belfast.
And the man said to him, would you like to go to a meeting? Well, he said, I'm doing nothing else, and I heard you got relations. He said, I'll go with you.
He went to the meeting, and the man mounts the rostrum and starts to preach. Text, Lord Jesus.
And as he's preaching the gospel, John Zebedee's standing, sitting there listening to every word.
And he's running back history in his mind to the pot-belly stove and the little warm hall and the big gentleman that put his arm around him and the John 3:16, the seed of the Word of God that was sown deep and etched upon his soul and mind that he could never forget it.
Resulted in him trusting in the merits of the work of God. I like the rest of the story, Paul Harvey. Years, now you see it happy and praise. You find joy, destiny secured. He's sitting in a meeting away down the country. Somewhere, remember the Lord Jesus, and a grey-haired man gets up to give a wee word after breaking a breath. And the big grey-haired man says, I want to encourage you folks about soul winning. And he says, I want to keep you that. Show beside all waters. And he wrote, read that in Isaiah's prophecy. Show beside all waters. And he started to go over a few little things to help him. And he said, you know, I remember a little fella. Only about 8 years of age when I met him. Came in the hall, tattered and torn and barefoot. He said, he was so cold, he was over the side of the little stove. He said, I taught him God basically. He was there with about 14 or 15 years of age. But he said, you know, I maybe never meet him again.
Maybe never see him. But always felt in my soul I'd meet him in heaven.
Well, and John Zebedee got up and made his way over to the grey-haired man.
I tell you, put his two arms and said,
I'm that little boy that you taught John 3:16. Oh, I tell you, friend, I love him.
Whoa, my friend, the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures, that's what we're showing. It tells us where we come from, God's hand. It tells me what the purpose is. A sinner's God wants to save us. And it tells us destiny. Heaven. It discloses the future in a sweeping state.
My friend, it tells us the everlasting glory or the everlasting gloom.
It tells us the song of angels and the song of the redeemed or the weeping and the wailing of the lost.
It tells us of the brightness of the glory, the unsullied presence of God in all its brightness and in all its radiance. Tells us of the gloom and darkness of hell with all of us. This is at this table. I hope you put a premium on yourself. I want to get set here. What about your soul? I hope you put a premium on yourself.
I'm not going to go into all the details and lose you in this.
Really, the soul is the real person. You're only looking at the shell here.
This will come down if the Lord be not come. I'll
sit down to the grave too. Some people bury me.
And you're the same, friend.
We're living in a dying body. As soon as we're born, we die.
We're living in a dying body. And friend, the main person, the real resident, makes his or her exit into eternity. That's the soul.
The real view. I said, the Lord Jesus, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, what the Lord Jesus is emphasizing is a very simple basic truth. And I'm going to be quiet as I say this. What value, to the back of the hall, what value do you place upon your soul tonight? Are you putting a priority? Are you putting it, my friend, where God puts it? Where Christ puts it? You want to put absolute value upon that soul, friend? That's immortal, that will never die? That will go out into eternity. One day we will make our exit. One day we will say farewell to this world and its fancy pleasures and its fond dreams. And my friend will go out into an eternity unending that we heard last night. Endless, ceaseless, timeless.
What value do you have upon the real you? Right then, it's worth more than all the world.
That's what happened to me with a deck of cards in my hand. Sorry to go over to get a deck of cards in my hand. Ooh. I loved them. They stuck to my hands.
And I remember that morning, Sunday morning, looking at that hand. I saw the money going into his hand. And about half an hour's time, I looked at the cards in my hand. Look at that. I looked at all the friends. The 12 of them. I said, boys, I'm finished. I'm not coming back.
Billy Foster put his hand in his pocket and said, yeah, he's gone into eternity. And he pulled out his wallet and he came to pull out the
£10 note and the £5 note and the £1 note. Is that the money to go?
I said, Billy, you don't understand, but I remember saying that you don't understand.
There's one thing I have never seen that in all my uncle and brother's life. I said, well.
And I looked at the boys, I said, boys, I'll tell you one thing, I won't be back. You know, I've got a mother.
And I know that God has been speaking. And boys, I'll tell you something. If you don't understand it, and I put this to the whole church, he said to him, no, if you don't understand it, I'll tell you, I need to be saved.
And I walked out of that
place at 10:30 in the morning, and at 11 o'clock that night,
oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did stand at Calvary. There, I burned soul for liberty. My friend, I never forget what it dawned upon me in my gross darkness.
The reason why Christ died at Calvary. My soul is saved.
My friend, what value do you put on your soul tonight? I want to close with this. What value do you put in the Savior? No, I know people are thinking sometimes, they come to meetings, at least some do say, why preach about the blood? Well, friend, why not preach about it? That's my problem. Why not preach about it?
I love the interest drawing the blood and everything. I really would. I wouldn't like to put a soul from out of that building tonight or this building without hearing of the value of the precious,
cleansing, justifying, emancipating, redeeming blood of Christ. It's the noblest, highest, loftiest thing.
I want to look at it tonight for yourself.
I want you to think, friend,
of its value. You could have come into this meeting tonight
in your sins without Christ on that broad road going down under the crown head to death and to judgment. And you could leave this meeting, listen, friend, cleansed by the value of that precious.
You know what makes the blood precious and valuable?
because of the work he said. My friend, it's the impeccable Son of God, it's the eternal, that came from heaven, perfect, that moved through this world for 33 and a half years, despised and rejected, finally.
God will not. And his blood was rejected.
You know, Dr. Cook was a very great preacher, great intellect. They met on one occasion in a large
hall, I believe it was Chicago, not just too sure whether Chicago or New York. This is number really large.
And they met with a great theologian, giants from different backgrounds and different countries and cultures. And they were all there to study and talk and give a little contribution on
there was a there was.
One man said what they believed, what they held, another this and another that went right through the crowd of that packed house until finally it come to Dr. Cook's time to get up and speak. And he stopped. He stood there. He said, I have listened to all that has been said. I said, I want you to listen to what I've got to say. This is what he said. He said, I want to try to visualize in this large auditorium. I want to bring up the worst profligate woman that can be found in this area. He started to describe her
on Christmas society. Her hands are stained with blood. She's thrown her life to the end.
She's under control of the darkest power. There she is, ragged, worn, despondent, disillusioned. And as he went over to describe her, he said, could I ask all you men in this building that have propounded your religion, have you anything that will meet this woman in you? I'd love to have been there just to listen. The dear man, Dr. Pooch, stopped and paused, which is a good thing in your preaching sometimes. And he stopped. Looked up to heaven. As if in a form of a prayer, he says, O God, I described this woman. She's property. She's an outcast. She's a rank and godly sinner. She's almost impossible. Pause. He says, O God, is there anything to tell this woman that will change her and cleanse her and make her fit for him? Paused again. And he felt it here. The idea of this for you. Peeling down into the depths of a poor, degraded, debauched sinner. And this is what it is. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My friend, tonight in the meeting, there's not a stain but the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. And you tonight in this meeting, I hope that you will put value, absolute value, upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Here's the only remedy for sin-sick, lost, guilty sinners. The only title to heaven, the passport to eternal bliss, is Jesus died for me, the cross of Christ, my only boast, his blood, my only plea, my passport to the realms of bliss. As Jesus died for me, let me stop a moment in 1 minute, 60 seconds of my heart of vocabulary to tell you, friends, on the other side of it, of earth, and in the glory. The song that vibrates and echoes and warbles from north, as a such a thing as north, south, east, and west. And that fair, vast universe of bliss, I hear melodious voices singing in one accord, in harmony, and in joy, and in gladness. What is this? Unto him, and loose us from our sins. My friend, tonight, thank God, there's power enough in Jesus' blood to save the sin-sick soul. I hope tonight you just bow to that. Lady Powers Court,
with all her wealth has died.
In her closing moments, near to the end of the world, woman at old, beautiful, bronze and Dublin, beautiful spirit. She says, all I've got to die with is this. The blood of Jesus Christ,
his son, cleanseth me of all sin. My friend, I hope that God will help you. Don't miss Christ. Don't miss your soul's salvation. Do come back in the will of God if God spares you. And make this priority. The Word. My soul. And the precious blood of Christ. Shall we pray?
Our Father, we bow before thee in the peerless name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the gospel. Yes, we have been reminded of the words of Christ. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be that go in there. We've been reminded to strive to enter in. O God, we pray that some soul tonight, in this meeting, some boy, some girl, man or woman, young or old, might put value upon what God says in his word, as reliable, as trustworthy, and they might bow to thee absolute authority of this word. And Father, we pray that they might put priority upon their soul. Not too many will care for them. God loves them. Christ died that they might receive it. Grant, Lord, that they will put it first. The salvation of their precious soul. And we pray, Lord, that someone tonight might be able to claim the value and virtue of the Savior's cleansing blood. Lord, we may not have explained it. We can't explain it. But we bow in simple childlike faith and accept divine truth that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Part of thy blessing. And remember meetings with Father. O God, may sinners leave tonight. Awake. Alarm. And need Father Earth. Forgetting God from me. We ask it in the Savior's fragrant name. Amen. We're just going to sing a verse of a hymn, and the meeting is concluded. A well-known hymn, verse number one of number 63. Number one of verse number one of hymn number 63. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. We'll just sing verse 1 and 5, and the meeting is concluded. Thank you for coming.